Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Remembering. When we think of that word, we tend to think about history, or think about the past. We remember events that took place some time ago. We remember a funny story or a funny joke that we heard. We remember where we left our car keys when we came in from work last night. Or at least we try. But I want to look at that word a little differently. Re-member. To actively bring back as members those who in some way have become outside. In Jesus' Sermon on the Plain, which is the gospel lesson that I just read, Jesus is remembering those who have come to see him. Some may not have had any official standing. They were outsiders. The verses that are directly before the portion assigned for the actual reading for today describe how Jesus is in the midst of people from all over. Some were self-proclaimed disciples, following along to learn what they could from Jesus. Some were the 12, who we know as the apostles, paying close attention, trying to prepare for themselves to continue on in the ministry with Jesus. But many, many people there were just ordinary people who longed to be healed, to be seen, longed to be recognized, longed to be remembered into community. And Jesus does just this. He preaches, "Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who weep. Blessed are you who are hungry. Blessed are you who are hated." I can imagine Jesus in the midst of everyone at eye level, right? This isn't the Sermon on the Mount. This is the Sermon on the Plain. He's at eye level, looking at each person and seeing them each as a beloved child of God, and telling them all that they are beloved children and blessed children of God. But then we hear the woes. And I know I have said this before when I've preached on this passage, but in case some weren't here or have you forgotten, I'm going to say it again. Woe does not mean cursed or damned or anything like that. It is not the opposite of blessed. It's more like, whoa, right? To use an alliteration, like, whoa, stop that horse. Slow down, look out, pay attention. For those of us who are not poor or hungry or outsiders, we are called to do the remembering. We are called to feed the hungry, care for the poor, to bring back into community those who have been cast aside in this world because they do not live up to the expectations of this society. And these words in Luke are really just an extension of the message Jesus started earlier in Luke in chapter 4, when after fasting in the desert and then being tempted by Satan, he goes into the synagogue and he reads from Isaiah. So Luke 4 says, and this is Jesus speaking, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus was focused on the present. Today, this scripture is fulfilled. Not some future bliss in the life after. He saw the reality that people during his life were systematically excluded, left alone in their hunger and poverty and sadness. Jesus was focused on the fact that those who were most in need of support and comfort were most often the ones who were denied because they were deemed unworthy. The situation hasn't improved much in 2,000 years. Too many people are cast out of membership from communities and society when they are most in need of belonging. As a community that claims Christ as our head, we are being called to act differently, to see differently, to work at bringing God's unconditional love to this world here and now. So at this point, some of you may be wondering why this gospel lesson was chosen by the church to be read on All Saints Sunday. Reverend David Teedy explains, "All Saints Day is a witness to God's way of blessing the world, not simply reinforcing the entitlement of the privileged to the way things are, but revealing God's justice fulfilled in mercy. This is not an ideological agenda or a political platform, but a vision of God's reign, which he embodied. God's reign is one that brings everyone into relationship, not just those who seem to be perfect or extra holy in some way, but everyone. Many of you may know that at a funeral, the commendation that is used by many, if not most, Christians goes like this: "Acknowledge, we humbly beseech you, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming." It doesn't matter if the person being buried is Mother Teresa or someone who died on death row. We are recognizing that both are lambs of Christ's flock, sheep of Christ's fold, sinners redeemed by that very shepherd. And that's true for us all. In a few minutes, we will remember some of the many saints who have passed from this world to the next, saints who are in some way are special to us. As we remember each one, I hope that we will also be thankful that there were times that they got it right and that the living Christ was truly at work in them, in the same way that sometimes we get it right, even when at other times we have all fallen short. Through Christ, God's reign of mercy shows in our lives and showed through the lives of those saints we will remember. Reverend Teedy adds in his commentary on this passage from Luke that there are two miracles of All Saints Day. One is that God's work continues to be active through the lives of very ordinary people, each one of us. And the second miracle is that we are transformed, sins forgiven, and called to be saints in this world, living out God's love and striving for God's justice. On this day, when we remember those saints who have touched our lives, I ask that God will teach us to follow their examples to the very best of our ability. I pray that when we leave this place, we will remember those on the outside by feeding the hungry, helping the poor, comforting those who are sad, standing with those who are at the margins, and finding ways to be peacemakers. I also pray that we will see clearly what it means to be children of God, to know that we are all saints simply by the call of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who has redeemed us all. Amen.